Good afternoon and welcome to this news event sponsored by the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. The purpose of today's news event is to announce the filing of a FOIA-related lawsuit by the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy against the United States Department of Energy. You'll be hearing today from a total of three speakers. Before we introduce them as a group and then individually as they deliver their remarks, we'd like to invite the operator on the line to explain to you how it is that the Q&A period will work.
During the question and answer session, you may ask a question by pressing star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you would like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star, then 2. Again, it's star, then 1 to ask a question.
And we'll have the operator back on the line at the start of the Q&A period so that you can hear once again how it is that the Q&A period will work. And we want to indicate, of course, that the Q&A period is reserved for members of the news media. So you're very much encouraged to participate. Just want to make sure you're a member of the media. And at this time, we'd like to introduce the three speakers you'll be hearing from today. You'll be hearing, first of all, from Stephen Smith, Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. The second speaker today will be Larry Sanders, who's Acting Director of the Turner Environmental Law Clinic at the Emory University School of Law. He's an attorney for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Our third speaker today will be Steve Ellis, who is Vice President with Taxpayers for Common Sense. Let's go now to our first of three speakers, Stephen Smith, Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Again, my name is Stephen Smith. I'm the Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Welcome to the news conference. For all of you who may not know, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy is a regional nonprofit energy advocacy organization that has become a leading voice for energy reform to protect the quality of life and treasured places in the Southeast for the past 25 years. Founded in 1985, SACE is the only regional organization primarily focused on developing clean energy solutions throughout the Southeast. We have offices throughout the Southeast. We work in primarily five southern states: Tennessee, North and South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. And I'm talking to you today from one of our offices in Knoxville. We are here today to announce that SACE, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, has filed a major lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Energy for violating the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA. The bottom line is this: U.S. taxpayers are being denied timely access to information that could be used to assess the risk to their pocketbooks posed by the controversial $8.3 billion federal loan guarantee program for two proposed nuclear reactors at Southern Company's Plant Vogtle on the Georgia-South Carolina line. Despite the fact that President Obama announced the Vogtle Taxpayer Finance Loan Guarantee Program in February 16, 2010, amongst much fanfare, all meaningful details of the deal have remained shrouded in secrecy. SACE filed the lawsuit because DOE's failure to comply with the Freedom of Information or FOIA request filed on March 25, 2010. Under FOIA, DOE was obligated to respond to the SACE request by April 22nd, well in advance of when DOE and Southern Company finalized the loan guarantee deal on June 11, 2010. However, DOE released no documents to SACE until July 6, 2010. When DOE finally released a handful of documents related to the Vogtle loan guarantees, they were heavily redacted with all important details blocked out, virtually meaningless, including one document that was censored 244 times with half a dozen pages nearly or entirely obscured. This is an astonishing level of censorship from documents that were partial in scope and submitted on an extremely tardy basis. I encourage you to review these redacted documents, some of them that we have now posted up on our website, and you can see clearly the how this is being blocked out and how the public is being denied access to information. The clear foot-dragging and improper handling by DOE of the SACE FOIA document request provides the latest proof of the validity of the criticism set out in the July 12, 2010 U.S. Government Accountability Office report, which was titled, Further Actions Are Needed to Improve DOE's Ability to Evaluate and Implement the Loan Guarantee Program. The GAO study found that the DOE loan guarantee program is inadequately planned and executed, lacks objective performance goals, and provides preferential treatment to nuclear loan guarantee applicants over other types of applications. What does all this mean for taxpayers and others concerned about government secrecy? Well, the bottom line is this is too large a sum of taxpayer money being spent on too risky a project for there to be this much cover-up and secrecy. This is the first award of what could be tens of billions of taxpayer dollars, more taxpayer subsidies going to the nuclear industry, setting the precedent of hiding the financial ball from the public in round one is a very bad start for this program. We need openness and transparency. Obama's Department of Energy, Southern Company, and the other public power companies, which are all part of this cover-up, need to set the record straight and tell the truth about what's going on here. They are socializing the risk and privatizing the profits for the big power companies. I'm pleased here to be joined by the other speakers, and I look forward to hearing from them shortly. Thank you very much.
That was the opening statement of our first of three speakers, Stephen Smith, who is Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. At this time, we're going to proceed to our second of three speakers. His name is Larry Sanders. He is Acting Director of the Turner Environmental Law Clinic at Emory University School of Law, and he is an attorney for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy.
Good afternoon. This is Larry Sanders, speaking from Atlanta. Let's see. Just very briefly, the Turner Environmental Law Clinic is a law school clinic. We are basically a very small environmental law practice housed within the law school and staffed mostly by law students, second and third year law students. We also have me as the acting director and attorney and a staff attorney. So we've got two attorneys and nine students every semester, and we represent almost exclusively environmental and citizens organizations, national organizations, regional organizations like SACE and local groups. We've been serving as counsel for SACE and other organizations on the Vogtle expansion since about 2006, working on the licensing issues in front of the NRC primarily. And this Freedom of Information work, Freedom of Information Act work, has been an outgrowth of that representation. Just very briefly, this is on the one hand a very simple case. It's a missed deadline case. The Freedom of Information Act requires agencies, absent extraordinary circumstances, to provide a response to Freedom of Information Act requests within 20 business days, which is a month, a calendar month. When we didn't get any documents after a month, we did not jump in and rush right out to court. That's not how SACE operates, and that's not generally how the Turner Clinic operates. A month isn't a huge amount of time in the world of environmental law and agencies. And agencies often will take a little bit extra time, and that was really our expectation. We didn't expect that the agency was going to produce voluminous records responding to our request in such a short period. However, we did expect them to produce something, and we expected them to produce something without huge amounts of redaction. So that's the other side of this, you know, beyond the just plain legal argument in the case, which is the agency has missed the deadline. They haven't responded to most of our request at all. The other piece of it is, to the extent that they have responded, the handful of documents that were provided to us were incredibly redacted, and redacted to the point that they are really meaningless. And as a result of these two things, one, the failure to produce most of the documents that would respond to our request, and two, the heavy redaction of the few documents that they did produce, results in a near total blackout of information on this program that is a major subsidy to the nuclear energy industry and Southern Company in particular. And the only excuse that we've received so far from DOE is that, one, they've received a lot of requests and therefore it's taking a while. That's how come they haven't responded in a timely fashion to our request. And the second piece is that most of the information that we asked for, or at least most of the information in the few documents that were provided, is confidential business information or trade secrets of the Southern Company or perhaps of their contractors who are building the plant. And the bottom line is that the extent of government largesse to the nuclear energy industry under this loan guarantee program is not a trade secret. Without a doubt, there is going to be some sensitive material in the records of the agency related to this loan guarantee. A reasonable amount of redaction to protect the company's legitimate interests is not a problem. It's only a problem when the agency decides to black us out entirely, which is really what's happened here. I thank you very much. Bye.
That was the opening statement of our second of three speakers, Larry Sanders, Acting Director of the Turner Environmental Law Clinic at the Emory University School of Law. He's an attorney representing the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and that takes us to our third of three speakers before the Q&A period begins. His name is Steve Ellis. He's Vice President of Taxpayers for Common Sense.
Good afternoon, and thanks for listening in. I am Steve Ellis, Vice President of Taxpayers for Common Sense, a national, nonpartisan budget watchdog. And thanks to the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy and the Turner Environmental Law Clinic for their efforts to force greater transparency and accountability at the Department of Energy Loan Guarantee Program. Although we are not a party to their lawsuit, after years of following the program, it is clear to TCS that their FOIA request experience is symptomatic of the flaws of this highly closed-door program. As was explained, Southern Company received an $8.3 billion taxpayer-backed loan guarantee for the construction of two nuclear reactors at their Vogtle site. This hefty loan guarantee was the first to be awarded to a nuclear reactor through the loan guarantee program. The program currently has $51 billion in authority, with $18.5 billion earmarked for nuclear reactors, so this is a massive commitment to one project. Although a conditional guarantee, which means that the final sign-off will not happen until the terms of the agreement are met, the risk still appears to be unacceptable. I say appears to be because taxpayers have been kept in the dark throughout the selection process, and we understand that the terms and conditions of the conditional guarantee will not be made public. What we do know is that facing problems with construction and design, the project's two AP1000 reactors costs could skyrocket well beyond their anticipated $14 billion price tag. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has raised concerns over this design because it would not withstand severe weather such as hurricanes, tornadoes, and earthquakes.
These unresolved problems could easily cause delays and risk the project's default, yet DOE is still moving forward and issuing the loan guarantee, even granting Southern Company an additional 30 days to make a decision. With the current status of the project and other nuclear reactor projects in disarray, it is difficult to comprehend how the DOE could receive financial assurances now or in the future that could adequately protect the billions that they intend to hand out. From information gleaned from company releases and the media, the Southern Company project and other likely recipients, including Calvert Cliffs and South Texas, all have significant financial and technical hurdles standing in their way. Everything indicates we should be putting the brakes on this program, including the earlier mentioned GAO report that charges DOE is giving preferential treatment to nuclear applicants and has no clearly stated goals for the overall program. Instead of heeding these concerns, the agency continues to rush ahead, so confident in their closed-door program that they have asked Congress to steamroll through an additional $9 billion in nuclear loan guarantees immediately and is asking for $27 billion more for fiscal year 2011. So DOE is hiding critical information behind their back with their one hand while they have their other hand out asking for billions more in nuclear loan guarantees. They have already the authority to give out more than $18 billion for nuclear reactors and still have yet to provide any assurances that these projects are smart investments. In fact, all the evidence points to taxpayers losing big on reactors like the Vogtle project. This is unacceptable, and DOE must come clean and start fully answering these information requests, or lawmakers should stop the program. Over the last six decades, taxpayers have given the nuclear industry billions in research and development money, liability and risk insurance, and other tax breaks and subsidies. Now someone at DOE needs to explain quickly how it makes fiscal sense to promise billions to an industry that has been plagued with defaults for projects. When Wall Street doesn't feel comfortable investing in these projects, how can taxpayers? Thank you very much, and look forward to your questions.
That was the opening statement of our third of three speakers, Steve Ellis, Vice President of Taxpayers for Common Sense. And we will now proceed to the question and answer portion of today's news event. What we'd like to do first is invite the operator on the line to explain to you how it is that the Q&A period will work.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you decide to withdraw your question, please press star, then two to remove yourself from the list. Please limit yourself to one question and a single follow-up. If you need to ask an additional question, please know that you may press star, then one, to rejoin the queue.
And while we're waiting for our first question, we want to make sure that you know that you can make arrangements after the news event is over to get additional information and to contact speakers by contacting Leslie Anderson at 703-276-3256. Again, that's Leslie Anderson at 703-276-3256. The documents referred to in today's news event, including the news release, the lawsuit itself, and the related documents, including the document that was blacked out 244 times, is available to you on the website for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. That's at www.cleanenergy.org. Again, cleanenergy.org, and we'll be repeating that information as we proceed through the Q&A period. Operator, at this time, let's move to our first question.
First question comes from Kate Ling of Greenwire. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for doing the call. I haven't had a chance to look at the documents, but could you go over just real quick precisely what you're suing DOE for? Is it just the FOIA, just breaking, not following FOIA? And what did you ask for in the FOIA request? I'm assuming the subsidy fee, but if there was anything else. And then have you gone forward and asked for any of these similar details on the other loan guarantee projects that have gone forward? I don't think any of them are in the southern region, so maybe it's not something you're interested in, but I was wondering if you'd asked for anything else. Thanks.
This is Larry Sanders. I guess I will take a shot at answering this question. The first answer is, I'll answer your last question first. The other organizations, we, on behalf of SACE, submitted a Freedom of Information Act request about Vogtle. As I mentioned, the Turner Clinic had been working with SACE on Vogtle for several years prior to the issuance of the loan guarantee. And The announcement in February that the conditional loan guarantee offer had to Vogtle had been issued was what prompted us to file the FOIA request on Vogtle only. As it turns out, other organizations, I believe Friends of the Earth, and I believe some folks in Texas, and I believe some industry folks as well, have filed similar FOIA requests asking for similar documents and haven't gotten anything or have gotten similar responses. I'm not as aware of what has been happening with other FOIA requests.
Is that just the nuclear industry or in general on the loan guarantees? I think there's about 14 that have gone out.
that is just on the nuclear stuff. I'm even less aware of what other organizations are doing in terms of Freedom of Information Act and transparency on other loan guarantee programs. So then the other question was what specifically did we ask for in the Freedom of Information Act request, and what does the lawsuit specifically allege? As I said, it's a fairly simple lawsuit. It alleges a missed deadline. FOIA gives the agency 20 days to respond. They didn't respond in 20 days. We had quite a bit of back and forth with them about when they would respond and if they would respond. And finally, we felt that there was no option but to sue on the missed deadline. So at this point, what the lawsuit asks for is simply for the agency to respond. Unfortunately, our expectation is that the response is going to be more of the same redacted documents, and that will cause more back and forth with the agency and perhaps more with the court. What documents did we ask for? It was a rather broad request, and that's, again, as I mentioned, so we absolutely would have worked with the agency in terms of prioritizing and getting documents to us in some timely fashion without having to overburden them for producing huge numbers of documents all at once. We requested basically the loan application, the offer sheets that were given to Southern Company and its partners in February that Secretary Chu and the President announced. Correspondence, we knew that there had been significant amounts of negotiation back and forth between the parties, so we asked for correspondence. Environmental reports, typically the Department of Energy does do some kind of NEPA compliance document when they give out a loan guarantee, so we were looking for that. And then the actual loan guarantees, though, those were not finalized at the time we had sent out our FOIA request. We did ask for the actual agreement once it was available. I think that's about it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Kate, this is Steve Ellis with Taxpayers for Common Sense. The only thing I was just going to add, and it was separate from this whole endeavor, but that we separately FOIA'd Treasury for any of their loan guarantee program comments on the structure or on the how this whole thing was set up as far as the tiers, and that was actually denied.
Our next question, operator.
The next question comes from Bobby McMahon of Energy Washington. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having the call today. Kind of following up on the last question, I'm curious, do you see a distinction between, or do you have similar concerns about the DOE loan guarantee programs for renewables, be they wind, solar, what have you, and about the nuclear program? And kind of if so, do you see, are there programmatic changes that can be made to improve transparency, you know, those sorts of concerns with the program?
Well, this is Stephen Smith from the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. SACE is not opposed as an organization to loan guarantees, but we think that what needs to be done is that they need to be made in a transparent fashion, that I think that taxpayers need to understand the details, that they don't need to overly subsidize what we would consider, quote-unquote, a mature industry. I think there is a place for the federal government to play a role in advancing newer technologies and or, you know, helping jumpstart technologies. I'm not sure that everybody else on the phone agrees 100% with that, but from SACE's point of view, the reason that we're particularly zeroed in on the nuclear power loan guarantees is, one, as I said earlier, the size of this project, because you're talking, you know, tens of billions of dollars, multi-billions of dollars for individual projects, and the fact that we believe that this industry is a mature industry and that it doesn't need the same level of government support, and we do not at all buy the argument that the nuclear power industry should be as heavily subsidized as it is, given its mature nature of the industry, and that we also feel that they have gotten a disproportionate large share of taxpayer support, and we think, as I mentioned in my earlier comments, that this is a form of corporate welfare where these big power companies, which have, you know, billions of dollars in value, are feeding at the trough of the federal government when they don't really need to for this, and that if the reason is that they're having to do it because it's such a high-risk scenario that Wall Street won't touch it, then I think it really should cause all of us to step back and really wonder whether this is a proper path to go for our energy future. And SACE particularly does not believe that that we need to be investing this much in nuclear power, that there are other alternatives. So it's not that we as an organization are against loan guarantees across the board, although we do agree all technologies should be transparent. We think the information should be shared across the board. There's nothing unique about any of the technologies should be able to cloak themselves in secrecy. But as a general rule, we feel like this is extraordinarily risky technology that should not be so heavily subsidized.
This is Steve Ellis of Taxpayers for Common Sense. Certainly we have significant concerns about the loan guarantee program, whether you're talking about nuclear power or renewables or anything else that's under there. We've got a long track record of looking at loan guarantee programs, whether you're talking about the Title 11 shipbuilding program or the railroad construction loan guarantee program, and all of them have had their problems with basically being perceived as free when in reality ends up costing taxpayers a lot. And so some of our concerns with the program are structural, and so it doesn't really matter whether it's nuclear or the renewables, just in the way that it's structured, the amount of risk that's being borne by the federal taxpayer. And so that's going to be true across the board. But we also have to recognize that the tail that's wagging a dog here is the nuclear side of this, and they are getting the lion's share of the money, and they are also the biggest ticket items per project. So a default by one renewable project is not nearly as big of a taxpayer hit as a default by one of the nuclear projects.
All right, thank you.
Our next question, operator.
The next question comes from Margaret Newkirk of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is a question for Steve, or actually for any of you. But I guess I'm unclear about what kind of information did you not get that you think would speak to the risk to taxpayers beyond what we already know that would have been in that documents?
Well, we don't have a whole lot of detail about about the terms of the deal and what kind of skin in the game, so to speak, that Southern and its partners are putting into this. It's unclear to us exactly what that amount is. You know, We constantly have argued that too much of the risk is being shifted off of the companies onto either ratepayers through this early cost recovery provisions or onto taxpayers through things like these loan guarantees. And so what we are trying to do is get the details of these deals, the various deals that are going on, to show that the game that the utilities are playing here is, again, shift risk, socialize the risk, shift it onto the ratepayers and the taxpayers, and minimize the exposure for the company and the investors, but yet at the same time, and as you know, Margaret, I mean, mm-hmm. Georgia Power is down there now saying they need a higher rate of return on all of their investments. Well, at the same time, part of the justification for any of that would be that there's a certain risk about doing this business, and what they've done is they've effectively shifted the risk onto the taxpayers or the ratepayers. So we think the details matter here, and we have virtually no information about that.
Okay. And one follow-up, did you get any sense whether it was Southern or Westinghouse that was pushing for the trade secret designation? You had mentioned the confidentiality.
Well, we have not. We have no indication whether it was Southern or Westinghouse or, Southern also has a few minority partners in this deal who are also getting loan guarantees. And who, it's typical in Freedom of Information Act when you're talking about third-party derived information for the agency to give the third party an opportunity to express an opinion about whether a particular item is releasable or not. So what I expect happened, even though this is really just my educated speculation, is that the agency contacted each of the applicants that were going to receive the loan guarantees and gave them an opportunity to express an opinion on particular documents that were being proposed for release. The bigger problem, or at least as big a problem, is that most of our request has just been ignored to date. They produced the offer that was given to the applicants back in February. They produced that in July. After the offers had all been renegotiated and accepted by the parties, so we didn't get to see anything during the entire period that they were negotiating, and when they did produce the documents, they were just so heavily redacted that it's like a joke.
This is Stephen Smith with SACE again. Let me just add to this. We believe that the Department of Energy, as the federal government, has an absolute responsibility to make this information public. And we believe that Southern Company, as a business, should, if this is a good business deal, if this is a good proposition, then it would withstand the scrutiny of some sunshine. And so Southern Company and their partners, which are public power entities, should also be coming forth on this. And if we're going to have a debate about the future of nuclear power in this country, we should put these things out in a clear, transparent way. And if this is a good deal, it would withstand the scrutiny of public exposure. If it's a shady deal, or there's too much risk, or there's too much of this sort of risk shifting going on, then they're going to hide behind this veil of secrecy that we're up against. And this is what we're trying to blow a whistle on here, is that this industry can't withstand the light of sunshine, and that's why this needs to change, and we need to get this information out.
This is Steve Ellis with Taxpayers for Common Sense. I would just add is that, you know, there's a cost of coming to the taxpayer and looking for support. And when you actually come and you have your hat in hand and you're looking for taxpayer support, then we have a right to know what you're doing, what the plan is, and DOE has an obligation to provide that information to the taxpayer. And I think too often they look to their clients being industry when in reality they're paid by the federal taxpayer and their clients as the American taxpayer, and that's who should be getting the information.
This is Larry Sanders. I would just also add that as far as the offer sheets provided by Department of Energy to Southern, that is a document that originated with the Department of Energy. So in that particular setting, we failed to see how it could possibly be a trade secret belonging to Southern Company when the document was actually produced by a federal agency. So it's that in and of itself is something of an oddity that the agency is claiming that its offer to provide loan guarantees to private parties is somehow a secret that belongs to those private parties. So just to reiterate what Steve just said, there is a very limited expectation of privacy when you are standing up or when you're getting online for a government subsidy.
Our next question, operator.
The next question comes from Bill Fryburn of Nucleonics Week. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I wanted to get back to the mechanics of the lawsuit and the FOIA request that's pending. The lawsuit seeks disclosure of the documents that have not been provided, but it does not challenge the redaction of the documents you have received. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Larry Sanders. Yes, that is correct. The problem we've faced with the lawsuit is that the agency has chosen to respond in a piecemeal fashion. So rather than provide us with one response, they provided us with only a handful of documents, and that left us in this position of not being satisfied. So we sued over the fact that they haven't provided us most of the responsive documents that are out there. What we also did was we filed an administrative appeal of the documents that are of the partial response. So we sent to Department of Energy an internal appeal that addressed the trade secrets issues and the redaction issue on those the documents that they did produce. Our expectation is that Department of Energy is not going to respond favorably to that administrative appeal, and it too will ultimately be subject of litigation, and in all likelihood that will all be turned into one bigger case in the next couple months.
Okay, great. That's what I wanted. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. No follow-up there?
No, I'm all set.
Okay. In that case, we'll move on to our next question, operator.
The next question comes from Bobby McMahon of Energy Washington. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just wanted to follow up on one thing. This is in particular for Steve. Have you reached out to any larger groups, national groups that share the same interests as you on this particular issue? Or is there any possibility for collaboration on pushing for changes to the loan guarantee program or for greater transparency and on these issues?
Is it Steve Ellis with Taxpayers for Common Sense?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess for both Steves, yeah.
Well, from our perspective, we have worked broadly on this issue with other organizations who are concerned, including Frontiers, National Taxpayers Union, and other Physicians for Social Responsibility. So there is a large group of organizations who are looking at this, both on the taxpayer side and also on the environmental side, and just overall for transparency and accountability.
Yeah, this is Steve Smith with SAFE. I probably shouldn't riff here a little bit, but I do want to voice some frustration. There are some groups in D.C. that we are collaborating with and talking to about this, but let me just be perfectly frank. You know, I believe that a number of the national environmental groups basically got in bed with the Obama administration about offering this unbridled support for nuclear power as a quote-unquote bargaining chip to try to lure the Republican Party into a climate deal. And I think that they offered up a lot of this stuff prematurely with virtually no response back and nothing to show from the Republican Party coming back the other way. I think both the nuclear power loan guarantee issue and the offshore drilling are two classic examples of where some of the national environmental groups in the Obama administration were trying to lure the Republican Party into moving on the climate deal. So probably more information you need, but we have been frustrated by the fact that there has been this almost negotiating with ourselves, so to speak, to try to get the climate deal, offering out these carrots to the Republican Party, who claims that, if you give us nukes and you give us offshore drilling, we're going to get on board with you with a climate deal. And all this stuff is set into motion, and there's nothing that happens. And what do we end up with? We end up with this, shifting of risk onto taxpayers, and we end up with the Gulf of Mexico full of oil.
And just to add a couple more organizations, you also have, concerned about non-proliferation issues, non-proliferation policy education center, and also concerned about the taxpayer subsidies, the George Marshall Institute as well.
All right, thank you.
Operator, do we have additional questions at this time?
Not at this time.
Let's go through the instructions one more time since we have a few minutes and explain once again how it is that reporters can pose questions.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, you can press star then two. Again, it is star then one to ask a question.
And we'll wait a moment or two to see if there are any additional questions. Remind you at this time that you can get information after the news event is over by contacting Leslie Anderson at 703-276-3256. Again, that's Leslie Anderson at 703-276-3256. You can also find all related information on the web at the website for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. That's at www.cleanenergy.org. Again, cleanenergy.org. And in the absence of new questions, I think what we'll do, since we have a number of reporters who have indicated they want to review the documents offline and then pose their questions after the event, we do want to make sure that you have a chance to hear one last time from our three speakers. In the event that they have any closing thoughts, anything that they'd like to underscore or amplify before we wrap things up. We'll go back to our three speakers in the orders that you heard them. That begins with Stephen Smith, Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy.
Yeah, again, I just want to reiterate our ongoing frustration with the risk shifting that is happening by these very large power companies onto the backs of both taxpayers and ratepayers. And we believe that absolutely a good deal that can withstand the scrutiny of daylight is what we need if we're going to have an honest policy debate about energy policy in this country, and that keeping this information out of the public domain and foot-dragging, cover-up, secrecy is not how you have a robust debate about what is the proper energy policy for this country. It's too much money, too much risk, and we need to get this out in the open. Thank you.
And that was the closing thought for today from Stephen Smith, Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. This time we'll turn to Larry Sanders, Acting Director of the Turner Environmental Law Clinic, Emory University School of Law, and attorney for SACE.
Just very briefly, I would say that the Department of Energy has received a number of requests for this sort of information. The loan guarantees, the offers, correspondence between the applicants, criteria for evaluating applications, some of which may be legitimately secret, however, most is probably not. This is the type of information that under the Freedom of Information Act should be put up on the department's website for public access, which would eliminate the need for FOIA requests and waiting 20 days and all of the rest. If they've gotten so many requests that and so many people are interested in this sort of information, that shouldn't be used as an excuse for delaying people, as it has been. We've been told, we've received your request and you're online, and we'll get to you when we get to you. That's not an adequate response, and that doesn't conform to what the Freedom of Information Act requires. When an agency gets a lot of requests for a particular item, that shows that there's significant public interest in the issue. And the Freedom of Information Act provides for agencies to simply make that sort of information public. And with the Freedom of Information Act amendments for the Electronic Freedom of Information Act, there's a strong preference towards putting that sort of information online. And in fact, that's what the Department of Energy has done in the past with other loan guarantee programs. This one is really markedly different. It has been a total blackout, and there's been nothing but recalcitrance on the part of this agency. And it's odd. It's odd. It's odd from this administration that prided itself on being the most transparent administration ever. Department of Energy, at least as far as nuclear loan guarantees is concerned, is totally not transparent. It's the opposite of transparent. It's opaque. Thank you very much.
That was the closing thought for today from the second of three speakers you heard from originally, Larry Sanders, Acting Director of the Turner Environmental Law Clinic, Emory University School of Law, and attorney for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. And that brings us to our third of three speakers offering final thoughts for today, Steve Ellis, Vice President, Taxpayers for Common Sense.
Thanks, and thanks again to Stephen and Larry for their organization's hard work on this issue. Clearly, the stakes are high. And taxpayers are being asked to put billions of dollars out there or support billions of dollars out there and really are being forced to buy in a pig and a poke because the Department of Energy is refusing to share the information with the taxpayers that can help them decide whether this program is going to be effective and is going to be a good risk. And clearly, if this really was on the up and up and something that DOE thought could withstand the scrutiny in the light of day, this information would be made public. But unfortunately, both the program is skewed towards putting the risk on Uncle Sam's shoulders rather than the industry, and then the people who are administering the program are skewed at looking at industry first before taking care of taxpayers.
And that was the closing thought from Steve Ellis, Vice President for Taxpayers for Common Sense. You've been listening to a news event sponsored by the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, Southern Alliance for Clean Energy on the web at cleanenergy.org. That's where you'll find the documents related to today's news event, as well as later on today a streaming audio replay of this news event for any of you who missed the first part of the call or wish to review any other portion of the call. Inquiries after this news event should be directed to Leslie Anderson at 703-276-3256. Again, that's Leslie Anderson at 703-276-3256. On behalf of everyone associated with the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, we'd like to thank you for joining us today That concludes this news event.